Welcome to the One Thing Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Kokoska. You know, each one of us wants more. We want more out of our careers, our relationships, and our personal lives. At the same time, we want less. We want fewer distractions and less on our plate. Regularly, I get the chance to interview these folks that have achieved extraordinary success through narrowing their focus to their one thing. And today, I have Pam Rose, who's a two-time Grammy nominee. She's a songwriter, a singer, and a recording artist who's toured with Sting and made two CDs for his private label as part of the duo Kennedy Rose. She's performed with Emmylou Harris at the Nobel Peace Prize presentation. And Pam, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Sean. It's great to be here today.
All right, Pam. Well, you've achieved exceptional and extraordinary success. I'd like for our listeners to get to know you a little bit. So, Pam, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started being a musician. You know, I consider myself a musician first, and then the rest of my career came, quite naturally. But I've been doing music since I was probably four or five, or at least I can't even remember. I've always been doing it, and I live in Nashville now. I get to travel the world. I have had the good fortune to have people know my songs. And as you mentioned, occasionally they'll make it to the Grammy Awards. And it's been a lovely thing to just follow my songs around and get to see how people are inspired by them. And that just makes me very happy, I have to say.
Absolutely, Pam. Well, it makes us very happy, too. Now, tell me, being a songwriter, a singer, recording artist, touring all over the place, playing for large groups, smaller groups, I mean, you've got a lot of things going on.
Well, it can look like so many different things, Sean. I'll try to summarize, as you mentioned, singer, songwriter, artist. I do produce as well. I'm a recording engineer. I travel. I tour. The recording aspect is really a built-in bunker. We have to turn our phones off. We have to. We can't have any distractions. We are compelled to just really, really focus. It's very, very detailed and fine work. So the recording process, that's an easy bunker and very naturally set up to relieve us of those distractions. The writing process is a little bit the same way, because it's not really possible to lose your focus, whether you're writing alone or whether you're writing in a collaborative effort with other people. It's really, there is a built-in bunker situation in those environments. However, if we move over to the touring aspect, the only part of the bunker that exists truly in the touring environment is the time where we're on stage. There's nothing that can break that unless there's, you know, something extraordinary and unexpected. So we get the chance within that bunker environment to connect and focus and completely be, engaged in what we do. Now, the traveling, an average day traveling would be to get up really super early and catch a plane somewhere, go to the airport, because you can't catch the last plane to somewhere. You always have to catch the next to the last plane somewhere. So you'll generally arrive at some place, you know, lunchtime or after lunchtime, or just before soundcheck. And then you go to soundcheck, you go there at 5 o'clock, you eat, you do the gig. It usually starts somewhere between 7 and 8. You play until 11. You speak to people afterward and visit, and then you go to bed at 1 or 2 because you're all, wired up and excited and inspired, and then you have to get up really early again and do that same thing over again. So that's the hardest part of the touring, is that I won't say it's impossible to have a bunker environment during that, but it's really, really difficult. And so that's the most challenging part, the business part of music, the touring and the retail part, the what to do with your product after you make it, what to do with your music. Those are the biggest challenges for all of us as artists and singers, producers. That's generally the most difficult challenge.
No doubt about it. So let me ask you, Pam, real quick, what's your one thing right now?
My one thing right now is I've taken the 66-day calendar, and I am focusing on the spiritual component, because I am in the process of doing a new project, and I have done really well. I can always do better, but I will just say, and the creative part of the project demands that I listen, and it demands that I draw on a part of a skill set that is much more centered in intuition and in inspiration. So that's the part where it's the big part, the dreaming, the bigger dream, the reaching far out. That's the part that I'm in right now. And so that really demands, Sean, that I really intently listen. And so I'm stepping up my game to be able to do that more. So whether it doesn't really matter what you call the part of each of us that is centered in inspiration and intuition, I just need more of that. And I find that when I have more of that, my ideas are bigger, my songs are bigger, they have a broader reach. They're just better than if I don't have that.
Right. So the one thing you can do is really create stillness, quiet, listen. Mm-hmm. Now the bunker mm-hmm. is critical for this, to build the bunker so that you can have that peaceful time to really create and let it come to you. So let me ask you, what are the success habits associated with that?
Well, Gary talks about having the proper environment, the distractions, have to go away. Even the food, I find that if during my time-blocked time, if I have to prepare a meal, I might also be tempted to say, oh, well, let me look at that email while I'm preparing. So I try to get all that taken care of beforehand. I also include my physical health. I'm a big proponent of yoga, and actually do a Google Plus online hangout yoga class with people around the country. So it's interactive. Is that what you mean by the success habits?
Yeah, exactly. See, understanding that F.M. Alexander said, people do not decide their future, they decide their habit, and their habits decide
right.
their future. So that's
exactly.
very neat. So tell me, how do the three commitments that Gary Keller outlines in The One Thing really come into play in your world, meaning commit to self-mastery, moving from E to P, that's entrepreneurial, to purposeful, and then finally to bring in and welcome accountability. How does that apply to your business?
Well, the mastery part, for musicians, And writers, you know, I consider myself a musician first. The mastery part really very much comes naturally to us, Sean. We are the neurotic people that have closed themselves in theater rooms and in rehearsal halls and rehearsal rooms for every free moment we had when we were growing up. And so that starts very easy for us. So that has continued to be something that I have a great commitment to. Having said that, there's always a point where I reach a plateau. And so it's necessary to, again, step up my game and increase the mastery, increase the level of mastery, or shake it up, as we say, or, you know, do something different in order to just get better and to get past the plateau. Now, the moving from E to P, I feel like I do that quite well. I feel like I do the E to P and the accountability quite well with my music and my writing, because generally there's a publisher involved when people are writers. And sometimes that comes and goes, but there is an accountability to a publisher, and there are a certain group of, I'd say, mentor type people or high level colleagues that I'm accountable to, you know, from time to time. But the biggest challenge for me, and where I plan to implement the one thing, is in the business part. I think we were talking briefly about the music business. The music part is something that does come very, very naturally to me. The business part is something, I mean, I'm not just speaking for myself, but all my colleagues, we struggle with that, and we are challenged by it all the time. And so that is a skill set where I could, you know, the moving from E to P and the accountability, I realize in my studying of the one thing, that's where I could use some more help. And I'm going to investigate the coach aspect of this and implement that, because I just keep hearing over and over how that is essential. So I do plan to investigate that further.
Fantastic. And also, as it relates to E to P, now, oftentimes it'll take you sometimes 6 months or potentially a year to really perfect a song that you're writing. That obviously requires you moving from E to P, meaning we hit that natural ceiling of achievement and you've got to just keep focused on it, understanding that the payoff could be 12 months, 14 months down the road. What keeps you motivated?
Well, you know, as an example, one of my songs is fairly well known, and it's played at weddings all around the world, and it was recorded by a group called Restless Heart. It's a love ballad called I'll Still Be Loving You. And we had the music to this song first, and we just knew we were compelled by the essence of this song. We didn't have words, but we had the pictures. I have to go back to the intuition and the inspiration. When you have an idea, if you can still maintain and hold on to the essence of what inspired you, I think you can't lose with that. But sometimes that's not really easy. And one reason it can take so long is because the brain starts working. And, you know, I don't know about other people's brains, but I don't think I'm the only one that has this little committee of people that get in there and talk about things and just chatter. They just chatter. And, you know, I appreciate their input, but they're not they're not that thing. They're not the intuition and inspiration. They're not the essence of the idea. Now this committee of voices and people and other kinds of ideas, they may help me to implement, and they may help me stay on track. They may help me finish it, but I have to stay with the essence of the idea. And that is it's an almost physical feeling for me, Sean. It's when I'm inspired, it's almost like a chill or a rush. It's a physical sensation. It's not that way for everybody, but that's what it is for me. And if I can hang on to that until I can really have the intellectual and the left brain and the foundational support for that, then I know I'm going to have a better product.
Well, that's wonderful, wonderful feedback for all of us, Pam. Thank you for that. Now, let's switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk to you about the six lies that somehow everything matters equally, that we end up then multitasking, and then when we're doing those things, we say, well, I just need more discipline, and when that's not working, we say, well, the willpower, I just need more willpower, and then it leads into, that now I need more balance in my life, and ultimately to then, because I want balance in my life, that big is somehow bad. How do these lies impact your career, and how do you avoid them?
Well, some of them I was familiar with just because, I'll start at the bottom, the last one, the balance. Any of us who lock ourselves in a room and are compelled to play our instrument better or to do our craft better, we know that balance is that's just a pipe dream that we all wish we had. And so that was not a foreign concept to me. Some of the others were not really... What was the first one, Sean?
That all things matter equally.
Right. That's similar to the last one in a way that, we all have a natural ability to prioritize us musicians. But now, the one that really struck me and the one that I was so taken with was multitasking. That hit me bigger than anything because in this technological age and in this world we live in, this crazy, crazy world that we live in, I thought poorly of myself because I couldn't multitask. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful to hear Gary's perspective on multitasking because I am one of the worst multitaskers there is. And, I appreciate knowing that and being supported by that premise that multitasking is not always our friend. Because I am very much wired to focus on one thing at a time with great enthusiasm and with great intensity. So the multitasking thing that was very, very revealing to me.
All right, Pam, tell me, if one of our listeners or several of our listeners wanted to find out more about you, to find out more about these songs that you've written, how would they get in touch with that or with you?
Well, I would love everyone to go to my website. It's pamrose.com. It's P-A-M-R-O-S-E, like the flower, .com. And click on store, and that will take you to where you can check out my music. You can find my life. You can find If I Fly. You can find all my material on pamrose.com/store. And it's also on CD Baby and on iTunes.
Fantastic, Pam. Thank you for that. What parting thoughts or words of wisdom would you have for the podcast listeners?
Well, I have been renewed and inspired by the work of The One Thing, and I'm one of the rare people that gets to travel around with Gary I did that a good part of last year, and go to the One Thing seminars and hear this work. And as I mentioned, my song "My Life" begins the audiobook version of the One Thing, and so I've gotten such an opportunity to inspire people with the song "My Life" that that Gary thinks is very, very complementary to the essence of the One Thing, and in turn, I've been inspired so much by hearing him and the possibilities that lie within the One Thing work. And so I would just close with a chorus of a song that I sang on the One Thing tour with Gary. It's called "If I Fly." The chorus goes, "If I fly, then will I feel the freedom on my skin? What if I close my eyes, trust the wind, and just lean in? I'll get there if I dare, if I fly."
That is fantastic, Pam. Thank you so much for your investment of time with us today. I'm certain our listeners got a bunch of wonderful things from you. There's no doubt. And I also want to thank our listeners for tuning in. Remember to check out theonething.com. You know, Pam mentioned the 66-day challenge. We've got a forum that allows you to track your habit-building pulse, to get you to invest the discipline until you own the habit. And until we talk again next time, guys, be on purpose, focus on priority, and be productive.